So why not do it now? I'm at the point when I'm like on the go and I need some extra calories. I also eat a Kit Kat for 200 calories. It's not the best food, but I do it, and I don't see any change in my physical or mental health. Mental health probably improved because I'm not all like thinking about food all the time. You know what I mean?
Right, welcome back everyone, welcome to the With the Right People podcast. It's yours, Crispin Schultz, and we again have Charles Ruffio as our guest. We just talked 5 minutes ago, which you might have listened to in the episode just before that one, where we were talking about the basics and especially the nutritional basics to weight loss, losing weight, because Charles himself went on a huge journey. You can look him up and you can also see another podcast episode where, you know, he tells his whole story from having, you know, anorexia when he was younger, fighting through, you know, a lot of his journey, coming out great, coming out of one of Switzerland's top personal trainers, you know, now helping numerous people with weight loss and helped a lot of people coaching wise and also in the area of gaining muscle. And obviously himself, you know, gained a lot of muscle over the years, had different physique forms. And so we thought we'd do two episodes. The first one, as I said, is just that one before this. And now we're talking about gaining muscle. And I'm pretty excited because this especially is a topic that I'm personally even more interested in, just because, you know, everyone has their goals. You know, for some people it's that goal, for some people it's that. For me, it's more about gaining muscle than about losing weight at the moment. So yeah, I'm personally really excited as well. Glad to have you again.
Nice,
Charles.
Cool. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
We will start right in. Maybe first question again, similar to the other one. Any difference when it comes to men versus women? Because you coach both, and yeah, just anything before we get closer, just so we know if we have to pinpoint certain points as long as we go.
So I still coach both. In the beginning, I just coached men, and I almost only coach women. So people can put it in perspective. Right now, I think I have 31 clients, 30 women, one guy. But yeah, I coach both. So I know what both should do. So the difference would be the amount of muscle mass a woman can gain and the guy is almost the same. Just women start out mostly a bit shorter, with less muscle mass than men. But if a woman has 50 kilograms of muscle mass on her frame, which is a lot, let's say maybe 30, she will build the same amount of muscle mass as a guy that has 30 kilos of muscle on his frame, you know, when she goes to the gym and eats properly. But one difference regarding training is that women are better off recovering from a high reps workout. So women generally can do like more reps, more sets than guys, and need like less times between the sets to like recover. So this is the main difference. But, you know, practically speaking, they can train exactly like guys and still have like the same results. So it's just a little bit of a difference if you check like the research.
And nutrition wise, you know, which is also one of the main points we'll talk about, probably also is pretty similar.
Pretty similar. Like I said in the last podcast, women benefit from a bit more high fat because of the hormones, the metabolism. But this is also like negligible, you know, you don't need to like be don't need to micromanage it that much if you're not a bodybuilder.
All right. And then let's get into it. Number one key for gaining muscle.
Yeah. I mean, I like to keep it simple.
Yeah.
You can also make it very complicated. You go to the gym, you start training with good intensity. I would say everything between 6 to 15 reps. Of each exercise is good. So let's say you do a bench press, if you perform 6 to 15 reps and after the 15 reps you reach muscle failure or almost muscle failure, then you have a good stimuli, then the muscle needs to like heal basically. And then if you, after the muscle heals, so like the same day or a couple of days after, have a workout with a bit more reps, sets or weight, you have a bigger stimuli, and then the muscles need to become bigger as a result. So basically go to the gym and you focus on improving the lifts. And what I mean by improving the lifts is not just only taking more weight, but let's say doing one more rep, doing a shorter break is also a progress. Having better form with the same weight is a progress. So just focus on progressing as much as you can. And then you basically build muscle, plus then the diet, which we'll talk later. And it's actually simpler than people think.
And then when we talk about diet, I mean, we talked about the weight loss, number one key being calorie deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm guessing, you know, calorie plus would,
yeah,
would
surplus.
Be, uh-huh. surplus would be mm-hmm. would be great here.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we, I mean, you verify that maybe, and then also what would be a good standard, because I know some people go in and they bulk, they eat like 2,000 calories yeah. more than they need.
Yeah.
Is that the right way? Or like, how would you recommend people to go about it?
I love that question, because this is something also people think in black and white terms, which I also talked about before. So I had the luck, now it's a luck in my opinion, to have had anorexia, so I had an eating disorder. So during my anorexia time, I had times where I just wanted to build muscle with building like zero fat and see if I can do it, because I was so micromanaging with my calories. So what happened is I built a little bit of muscle, but also like a little bit of fat, but almost no muscle mass. So I realized pretty early on, if you want to gain muscle without gaining fat, that's the wrong approach. If you want to get the best physique in the shortest amount of time possible, I would accept to gain a bit of fat to gain the most amount of muscle possible.
Mm.
You cannot just purely gain your full potential of muscle mass without gaining fat. It's just not possible.
Mm.
But what I would not do is, of course, not go like balls deep into like 1,000 calories surplus. It's also like too much. So how much is too much? I would say we talk about gaining rate in bodybuilding,
mm-hmm.
and you measure gaining rate by the rate of body weight you gain in percentage per week. So let's say if you weigh 80 kilos, a gaining rate of 2% per month of your body weight, or 0.5% per week, is already an aggressive bulk.
Mm-hmm.
Everything over that is in most cases too much. Maybe if you have an accident, you're in a wheelchair for 3 months, and then you need to like walk again and go to the gym directly, you can gain faster, obviously, because you lost so much muscle mass. But in most cases, like 2% per month. Because if you calculate, you're 80 kilos, you gain 1.6 kilos per month,
mm-hmm.
which is 19.2 kilos a year.
Mm-hmm.
19.2 kilos a year, man. You're almost 100 kilos after a year, you know, like, and then you still gained a lot of fat, you know.
Yeah.
You check the mirror, you probably gained a lot of fat and muscle mass, but the ratio is maybe, I don't know, 60%, 50% fat, 50% muscle, and some water weight, or 40-40, 20 water weight. So what I want to say is, an aggressive bulk is okay, but the definition of aggressive bulk, like, people get it wrong. Everything over 2% of body weight gain per month for me is like just getting fat over a long period of time.
So it makes no sense, basically.
Makes no sense. I mean, for example, a good example, I know a girl personally that weighed 55 kilos, and then she went to the gym and she lost weight. She went to 52 kilos on a height of 167. So 5'6" and 125 pounds, something like this, and she went down to 115 pounds, I think, something like, maybe not exactly this, but you get the point. She was very, very skinny, very like shredded, and she then developed a binge eating disorder. And because I know this girl personally, and but in the beginning she was not in my coaching, just someone I knew, and I was like joking with her, like, yeah, you should bulk to like 70 kilos just to see how far you can go, you know, joke. And then unfortunately she developed a binge eating disorder without me knowing. She told me later on. And then at the end she weighed 70 kilos actually.
Oh.
So she bulked from 52
wow.
to 70 kilo in less than 7-8 months.
Wow.
Which is extremely aggressive. But now, still, if you look at her, she gained, of course, a lot of fat. But she doesn't look like a girl that weighs 70. Now she weighs 67, you know, kilos. So she doesn't look like a girl that weighs that much, because she gained so much muscle in the process. But the disadvantage with a hard bulk like this is that you need a lot of time to get rid of the fat. You know, she could have achieved the same amount of muscle mass with weighing 65 kilos. So she would have need to lost 5 kilos less. So the thing I want to say is, you can do an aggressive bulk, you will gain a lot of muscle mass, but the time you lose by losing this extra fat, you could have spent like working out. I mean, you still probably work out, but spend like in another calorie surplus again faster. You know, if your goal is to build the most amount of muscle possible.
So probably like it's actually probably wiser. Is it wiser to kind of look at the scale and determine, you know, the amount of calories you eat that way? How would you go about, or like kind of? I mean, a lot of people, I think that's kind of the basis. You see what's your general calorie intake you would need just to, you know, go through the normal day, and then add a little bit on that.
Yeah.
Maybe talk about that for a bit.
I can give you, if you want, I can give you the most nerdy answer possible.
All right.
You know? Because that's what I used to be, like this bodybuilder guy that was very nerdy. It's not so practical in real life, but if guys want to go all in, like, or also girls, I can let you know. So what you do is basically you track your calories to the T for, I would say, a week. Or let's say a month. You track your calories, like, perfectly. You know, also weigh your food like a complete maniac, which I don't do anymore, but you should do it at the beginning to, like, know how much calories you need. So let's say you are, Chris, how much you weigh now, Crispin, 75?
I actually weigh, like, 70 more or less.
70? Yeah. Okay, 70, 6'2" almost, 6'1.5" probably, yeah, you said, yeah. Yeah. So 68 you said, right? 68. So what you do is 68 kilos, so you can Google on the internet.
70, yeah.
Sorry, 70, yeah. So you can Google on the internet, okay, 70 kilos, watch my, what is my calorie expenditure? Just Google a specific number, and I think Google would say 2,800 or something like this. So what do you do? Okay, 2,800, let's just try it out, estimate. 2,800 for a month, and you track it, like, very accurately, and you check after every week, what is my calorie average for this week? Did I hit 2,800? Did I not? So let's say you hit it, like, perfectly, which is not the case, but that's it. And then after 1 month of 2,800, you realize, oh, I lost a kilo, you know? And you're like, okay. So now you know that if 2,800, you lose a kilo. Of course, you also track your steps. So you know you did maybe 10,000 steps on average. So you know, okay, if 10,000 steps, 2,800 calories, I lose a kilo a month. So then you know, if you divide this kilo to a week, you know, every week you lost 250 grams.
Yeah.
Now it's the fun part. The grams of body weight you lose per week is the amount of calories you're in a deficit per day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so almost.
Yeah.
So 250 calories F deficit, which means you lost 250 grams a week, which is the case in this example. So now you know, oh, wait. 2,800 calories puts me in a 250 calorie deficit, which means then your expenditure is to 3,050. It's a bit like too exact. Maybe we could say 3,100, you know, just to be safe. So now, you know, 3,100 is my maintenance. So that's safe. So now you could just say, yeah, let's just add 200 on top of this. And then you add 3,300. So now from the estimation, you track your calories again, you weigh yourself again. After 1 month, you should be 1 kilo heavier. Right? The problem is, or the challenge is, your calorie expenditure is made out of four things. So let's see if I can remember them correctly on the spot now, but I think I will. So one is the basal metabolic rate, which means how much calories you expend when you're just lying down and not doing anything. You know, it's almost the same for every person. Then there's the conscious expenditure. So how much do you walk, how much do you go to the gym, and all these things. Then thirdly, there's the thermic effect of food, like how much calories does your body need to burn the food. For example, if you do a binge eating day with 10,000 calories and your expenditure is 3,000 on that day, it's not true because your body needs 10% of the calories you eat to burn them.
Oh.
So if you have a binge of 7,000 calories extra, you're not in a 7,000 calorie surplus, but you're in a 6,300 calorie surplus.
Wow.
You know, and these things add up because let's say you go from 2,800 to 3,300, you increase your calories by 500, you're not in a 250 calorie surplus now. You're in a 200 calorie surplus now because you add, you know what I mean? Like it's a bit like complicated, but that's the thing.
Sense,
that's one thing. Yeah. The fourth thing is there is a NEAT factor that comes in, NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis, which means the calories you expend with unconscious movement. And this is interesting because if you diet for a long time, your body will save this part of the equation a lot because it's a subconscious thing. For example, how fast do you talk? If we'll be dieting right now for 3 months, I will talk way less fast. How much you gesture during the podcast. You can see I'm like talking with my hands now because I'm overfed almost all the time because I'm trying to gain weight. I'm gaining weight basically. And then your heartbeat, your body temperature, your libido will be less and all these things. But your body will save these calories. When I was dieting for a long time for a photo shoot, like funny enough, my body was very, I did subconsciously, like when I was not dieting, I ate in front of the TV sometimes, which you should not do, but I did it. I ate in front of the TV. Then I stood up. I want to eat something else. I went to the fridge, got it, and I just walked back and forth. But as soon as I was on a diet, I just made sure I take all the food I plan to eat and eat it at once. You know, just go to the fridge once. So your body will save these calories. And these calories can add up to like, so, depends on the person, can add up to 500 or 1,000 calories a day just by this. It's just genetic thing.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, I'll continue. I have a question afterwards.
Yeah, the thing is, people that are good at this, people that on a diet have this high NEAT factor, which means on a diet they expend less calories very quickly, are also the people that survive better in real life. It's actually a good thing. But now with Uber Eats, it's a bad thing, because if you're dieting on 2,000 calories and then you have your body is just adapting to it very quickly, you would survive outside, but then it's just a pain in the ass for dieting. You know, and this
you need less calories as well. Yeah.
And the thing is this, I talked to an expert about this, to Lyle McDonald, but I'm still not sure how it works. If it's people that have a lower need during the diet, if they also automatically have a higher need during bulking. But I think it's exactly this. It's proportional. I'm not 100%, I could be wrong, but I think it is proportional. For example, with me, I have an average need. So when I go on a diet with 1,800 or 2,000 calories, after a certain point, I need to lower my calories more than I calculated with my Google sheet that I just said before. You will do the approach I said before with the averages of this and that, but suddenly you realize, oh, wow, I'm not losing as fast as I'm calculating because there's this little like invisible thing that is happening with your metabolism which you just don't realize. So in your example now, let's say you eat 3,300 calories. After a month, you gain 1 kilo. But then maybe the second month you need to increase your calories more because of this need factor. You don't know. But looking at your physique, because you're a tall and skinny young man, like maybe your need is automatically very high. That's why you stayed always that skinny.
I was about to say, what's interesting is that need factor. I've never heard of it actually. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very inspiring because I've always wondered, you know, people talk about, and I don't know how much science is behind that, but, you know, this kind of like three different types of, you know, metabolisms, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always been like, I've been eating a lot. You know, people tell me, you know, like, you eat a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, that's a question I'll get in later. You know, back in the day, I've loved eating a lot as well. Nowadays, like, I'm not even hungry. Like, it's kind of a struggle eating. What we'll talk about later. That's the question I had. But just for this one, I suppose my need being, like, my need number, how's it called?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, need, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's probably really high because, you know, I feel like I must burn so many calories for no reason.
Yeah, the thing is, did you ever track your calories?
Yeah, I used to, you know, when I, you know, now I'm not focusing on fitness too much, but I'm getting back into it. But yeah, I used to, when I tracked it, I think I did like 3,000, 3,000 to 3,200, something
like
that.
Yeah, the thing is, I also need to correct you. It's a good point, but the thing is, when I was 70 kilos as well, I also needed 3,200 calories to gain. Okay. So I think it's just a normal calorie expenditure for someone at 70 kilos, the young guy.
Yeah.
But it still means you need to eat a lot, but yeah. What you need to check in your example specifically, we need to check, okay, because the thing is this, if you like right now will bulk at 70 kilos and weigh 75, you automatically need to increase your calories even more because you're a bigger human being, more muscle mass, you burn more calories. But what you need to check is this increase in calorie intake from 70 to 75 proportional to you before? You know what I mean? So long story short, if you gain 5 kilos of mass, it depends on the person how much muscle mass you gain, but I think in my opinion, or my experience, it was like increase of 200 to 300 calories a day. So now we need to check if this increase of 200 to 300 calories a day is enough for 75 kilos, then you don't have a high need because it's a proportional to you before.
Right. Makes sense.
But if it's 6, 7, 8, then you have a high need because it's not proportional anymore. Sense. Your makes body sense. Is fighting the weight gain.
Yeah. No, okay, then this number is way more complicated.
But it's normal. I meet so many young guys, especially, like, I eat so much, which is true. 2,200 calories is much, but not for a guy that weighs 70 kilos, is almost like, is like 6'2" tall, you know, that's like normal, you know.
Oh, okay, that's good to know, because, you know, I feel like that's probably the confusion, because you look at any product, it will say, like, oh, you'll need, you know, the average is like 2,000, it will say.
But you're not an average person also, that's the thing,
Yeah, that's the thing, there's no average person. So, like, but this is probably why I think if I eat over 3,000 and I'm not gaining weight and I can't eat anymore, you know, that's confusing. And some people say, oh, I can't, you know, every time I just eat something, I get fat, you know, that's
what. It's also lifestyle, man. Like, I meet so many people, like, for example, you really realize when you're on vacation with someone, because then you see them for 10 days, how their eating habits are. Because sometimes also, like, people tell me, yeah, Charles, you eat so much, but then they go on vacation, like, yeah, on breakfast I don't eat that much, small lunch, but then on the evening I can eat pizza, whatever I want. Then I'm still at 2,500 calories, which is not that much for someone that weighs 65 kilos. And you're not even average, like, your height is over average, because 2,000 calories maybe for someone that is, like, 40, you know, 5'9", 5'10" is average height, you're already like not average with the height and the age and the activity probably.
True. Yeah, that's probably another thing. Like I always take steps. Like, you know, I never go on the elevator, for example.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Like, that's amazing.
It's probably all these things, and I move a lot. You know, I do sports and all that sort of stuff. So that's probably a big thing. Yeah. So then the question would probably be, more geared towards that. Okay, I realize, okay, I got to eat more.
Mm-hmm.
Just also, and I think maybe people can relate to that. Maybe they've been trying to gain weight, trying to gain muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And they've always been at the same weight, so we automatically know, okay, probably the calories is like the thing we should like focus on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I want to eat like just add say 200 calories a day to kind of get from like that point where it's at always 70, let's say, mm-hmm. to getting that higher.
Mm-hmm.
Any recommendation if I'm not hungry at all? You know, that's something I don't know. Yeah, good
point.
I don't know if that's because, you know, I force myself to eat. Now that I don't like eating anymore, but mm-hmm. literally I could, you know, I wake up and I'm like, no, I'm fine. Like I could literally just eat nothing until 5 p.m.
It's a good point. It's called homeostasis. So your body wants to stay at the same body weight, which is kind of a healthy thing for me also. Right now I'm 65 kilo. I'm totally fine. Like I'm not really that hungry. Like if I don't eat for 6 hours, of course I get me hungry. But yesterday also I was out with my friends, Damien and Florian. And then I had a chicken bowl with some vegetables, 500 calories. And then I was like, I'm not even hungry anymore, man. But then I ordered some extra sweet potato fries and some stuff. I forced myself to eat an extra 500 calories. And at the end of the evening, I was still in a calorie deficit probably. Mm. So it is a 24-hour job if you want to gain weight with a body structure like we have.
Mm.
You know, like losing weight for me is extremely easy. I was on a road trip for 10 days, lost a kilo without even doing anything.
Mm.
It's just where your body lies with its homeostasis. But what I would do is I would focus on calorie-dense food and also foods that are high on the hedonistic ladder. Okay. It's a term I got from Dr. Mike Israetel. I think he termed it. I'm not 100% sure. He comes from the bodybuilding community.
Yeah, let me know.
Yeah, because at the if you're a bodybuilder and you're like, I don't know, 100 kilos or 250, 225 pounds, you need to eat over 4,000 calories, then it's getting like very, very difficult, you know, because they need to eat a lot. So what these guys do is, if you're on a diet, you go very low on the hedonistic ladder. Mm. What does it mean? It means you just eat plain oats, plain cottage cheese, like very plain food. So you don't get a huge dopamine response from the food and then you don't overeat, right?
That's fully what I do when I think
that's the issue. at your age, it sounds very old, but at your age, I had the same issue because I was like, I want to eat healthy, I want to eat clean. But if you eat like this, like you cannot sustain it. So what you should do is you should focus on healthy foods that are higher on the hedonistic ladder and also higher on the calorie density, which means a sort of food that has a lot of calories on a small space.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing you can do, I mean, if you want to diet, it's the best thing. Cherry tomatoes, 500 grams, 110 calories. Peanut butter, 500 grams, 3,000 calories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe sometimes even more, a bit less, although sometimes a bit less. So eat peanut butter, which is a good sweet spot between being healthy, but also like healthy-ish and high calories. So what I used to do when I'm bulking, rice waffles and peanut butter, because rice waffles have almost no fiber, super easy to eat, and then you put like a thick layer of peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
You have 4 pieces of rice waffles that have each 150 calories. You watch a YouTube video, you eat 600 calories like on the go.
Mm.
You know, that's an easy thing to do, like focus on stuff like this. Or, in my opinion, like this nothing bad with eating like junk food or an extra bar of chocolate, or maybe 60% dark chocolate, 70%, or a little bit less if you want to gain the weight. Because if 80% of your diet is clean, let's say you eat, now in your case, maybe you need to eat 3,500 calories, 80% is clean, which are 2,800, that's already a ton of vegetables and vitamins and everything.
Mm.
Man, if you eat a bar of chocolate, then like you will not really decrease your health in a significant way.
Yeah.
So why not do it now? I'm at the point when I'm like on the go and I need some extra calories, I also eat a Kit Kat for 200 calories. It's not the best food, but I do it and I don't see any change in my physical or mental health. Mental health probably improved because I'm not all like thinking about food all the time. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Wow, that's pretty groundbreaking.
Like 80% clean, because nothing bad will happen if you eat a little bit of like fast food if the rest of the diet is like very good, you know. Then omega 3 fatty acids, vitamin D, magnesium, all these things in place. Like, what is going to happen if you eat chocolate? The problem with the chocolate specifically, or like fast food, or of course if you just eat these foods and have all the vitamins, you will wreck your health very easily. But otherwise, like, it's not going to be that big of a deal.
Mm. It's more like if you don't eat anything good, that's a problem. Versus you eat good stuff and some, like, bad stuff, that's not going to be the problem.
Yeah, like, almost for me, like, almost on a daily basis, I have, like, berries in my diet, vegetables, all these things. Mm. Sometimes Kit Kat, sometimes chocolate, whatever, dessert, you know, ice cream. I mean, it's... I don't want to say it's the balance because people get it wrong, then they want to eat like chocolate like, every day in masses, but it always depends from person to person. And in your case, I will totally eat more calorie dense food that are sometimes not that healthy, you know, in quotation marks.
That's a great point. I think that's because that's something very different from, like, you know, what you would, you know, if you just go on the internet and look things up, you would hear all sorts of advice. It's not tailored to your situation. And
exactly.
Then I will never, you know, gain weight. You know,
exactly. Yeah. Because I had the same mistake. Like, a lot of these young smart guys that are into personal development, they read these nutrition books or watch these YouTubers, and they think I also need to eat healthy and be like this and stuff. But
it's
most. But then if you're 21, 22 year old guy, you burn almost 3,000 calories. Like, good luck, man. It's not gonna work out.
What would be some other foods with high hedonistic value or hedonistic?
I would say high hedonistic value. We can make a distinction between calorie dense and high hedonistic value. Not every calorie dense food will have high hedonistic value. For example, almonds have high calories, but not high hedonistic value.
Yeah, it's not much fun eating like a bunch of almonds.
Exactly. So the highest hedonistic foods that are not healthy, I think for me personally, like M&M's. Because the thing is also this, if you combine salt with sugar, your brain goes on overdrive. It's a good book called Short Sugar Fat, where Michael Moss talks about the bliss point where you have the most dopamine response after you eat a food.
Interesting.
And with these foods, I think even M&M's, there are probably dozens of food scientists that work on this food and this recipe to make it as addictive as possible.
Wow.
So if you eat these foods, it's going to be easy to overeat. You know, I think M&M's is very high because it's a combination between salt and sugar.
Yeah.
Maybe tiramisu as well, like
and
everything.
Fat as well, obviously.
So yeah, fat. So everything in combination with fat, sugar, and salt.
Yeah.
It's like the heaviest you can do. Or what you could also do is, because our brain is wired to overeat when we eat sugar and salt, because in nature, there was no food that had both combined. There was either, for example, honey or berries that were sugary, and meat that was salty. So our body instinctively knows if something is salty, probably high in iron, zinc, selenium, all these things that meat has, and sugary is like vitamin C, for example, right? So when you have a combination of both foods, your brain goes on overdrive because your brain is like, I don't know when I will have the combination of these two again. So you can take advantage of this. So what you can do is you eat a salty meal during dinner and then after it directly a dessert. Because you know what? You always have a second stomach for dessert, right? It's exactly this mechanism at play.
Wow.
So everything combined, sugar, salt, and fat is good. Also peanut butter. It has almost no sugar though, but M&M's is like, I would not really recommend it, like 1,500 calories, but it helps to increase your calories, like 200 calories from M&M's, like, you know, who cares? In my opinion, who cares at the end of the day, because your rest of the diet is clean, you know?
Like just adding, for example, like, you know, for me, it would not make sense to buy like things that are fat reduced or something like that.
No,
right?
Not at all.
All this, you know, kind of just being easy on myself, just buying, you know, having healthy choices, but at the same time, you know, like, as long as, you know, I mean, even if I focus on trying to eat unhealthy, I'll probably still eat healthy just because I'm used to that kind of, you know, or like just, I ate pretty plain and that's probably why I'm bored with eating. You know, this morning I ate oats with milk. That's it.
Yeah. Oats what?
Oats with milk.
Oh yeah, exactly. That's,
that's not, you know, that's probably something people eat when they're on a diet, you know, trying to lose weight.
Or if it's full fat milk, okay. But even that is,
It's boring, so like that's a good point.
A good bulk meal would be, okay, you can eat berries for the vitamins or some fruits, and then you eat milk, but with some corn flakes and have a bit of sugar in it, you know, and you can add some protein powder. And then you have a lot of protein, a lot of carbs, a lot of fats, everything, but you have like some vitamins on the side. And the fats from the milk are not even that bad most of the time. Yeah, people will say inflammation, blah, blah, but man, like even... At some point, you cannot just eat not just eat meat all the time and bulk like this, you know. So I think that would be also a good change for someone like at your weight.
Yeah, and then what do you think of weight gainers?
Yeah, it's okay, but you also do them like cheaper, you know, mixer like some oats or some other carb source, full fat milk, some butter, whatever you want, weird combination of that. You can also make them on your own.
Yeah.
But if there's no other way, okay, but it's mostly just a mix of some sugar and some protein powder, you know, so it can get away easier.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then something we've talked about in the other podcast about weight loss, it's like fats, proteins, and carbs.
Mm-hmm.
Anything particular on here that would change? I mean, we probably just said how it's the right way as well for people who haven't listened to the other one.
Yeah, same. I would say protein the same as last time, 0.8 grams per pound of body weight or 1 gram per pound. 2 gram per kg also here, same if protein the same.
Mm-hmm.
Protein could have a disadvantage if you eat too much, you can be very satiated. So if you want to bulk up, just keep it at this level, not more if you can. And then also fat, I would increase the fat intake because 1 gram of fat has way more calories than 1 gram of carbs. So that just like can go hard. Like when I bulk, I have like around 100 grams of fat a day.
Mm.
At a body weight of 65 kilos, it's, you know, 1.5 grams of fat per kg. For you would be 120 grams and 100 grams and up. So I would not be too... too scared of the fat. But fat would be a good way, because if you eat food with high hedonistic value and
it's
food
that, be fatty,
yeah, it could be very fatty. So fat and carbs have, I would say carbs, the disadvantage could be if you eat too many carbs, also you have too much fiber and it's hard to eat a half a kilo of, no, guys, personally, I forgot the name of the guy, I met him like 2015. Again, like it's the same prototype of the guy. These guys are very smart, are into personal development and want to be perfectionists.
Mm.
Then he was like eating a half a kilo of rice with some chicken to gain. I'm like, bro, why? Just eat some peanut butter, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and then you're good.
Wow.
He was like complaining, I need to eat so much. I'm like, no, bro, just like diet is just off.
That's
off base.
So that's interesting because that's what I used to think, kind of. You know, I was like, okay, if I'm bulking anyways, you know, I'm obviously don't want to gain too much fat, what we talked about. So I always thought, you know, okay, then at least keep my macros clean, so to say, and try to not eat like a lot of fat or something like that. But that's pretty much like I don't have to worry about that too much.
No. Also, if the fat is from good sources, you know, like what I do, for example, when I bulk, I also eat a lot of dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
People are gonna be like, yeah, but saturated fat, blah. But it also depends where the saturated fat is coming from. Saturated fat from dark chocolate is like actually gonna, in most cases, can also be healthy than just like saturated fat from fucking bacon.
Yeah, then same with coconut oil, probably pretty healthy.
Yeah, exactly. So it depends. So what I do, like what I look to do, is I'll eat a lot of dark chocolate. And my old mentor, Mario Tomic, mentioned him in the old podcast as well. He had the same diet always when he was maintaining.
Yeah.
And then when he wanted to bulk, he just ate more dark chocolate. He just changed nothing at all, just ate more dark chocolate, like one bar a day, you know, which I did as well. When I'm bulking, I eat like one bar of dark chocolate a day extra.
You know, that's what I thought about, you know, for people listening who, you know, let's say it's not their biggest focus. Like for me, for example, you know, it's not my biggest focus at the moment, like being religiously at the gym.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll do it, and then, you know, it makes sense if I go to the gym then to also like adjust the diet. For me, probably the easiest way, if I look at my weight, I know it's been exactly the same for a long time.
Yeah.
Just then I pretty much without tracking anything, I could just add one thing that I haven't eaten before, like
yeah,
every
one
day.
Bar of dark chocolate, for example.
Yeah.
Keep it at your desk and you eat it like half a bar in the morning. The thing would be then maybe you eat a bit less during the main meals, so tracking would make sense. But yeah, it could be cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I kind of managed to always eat the same, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I stay the same way, so like probably that's a good advice. Yeah.
Yeah, or if you're watching Netflix with a girlfriend in the evening, like I eat one Kit Kat extra a day.
Yeah.
You know, something like this, and you don't even realize you ate it, and that's
Anything. Like, as I said, like, I'm trying to keep these short now, which is probably pretty cool, like, for people commuting as well. Anything you would add from your side? Any question you would have asked yourself, like, in that regard, gaining muscle?
When I was younger?
Or, like, generally, something that I haven't asked you that you would add to the conversation
on
gaining weight and gaining muscle, especially.
Maybe how strict should you be? Because I come from both sides. Like I said before, when I was 14, I had anorexia. And I came from, in the beginning, I came from the side of, I need to be super strict and like competitive bodybuilder style, which gives great results, but for most people, it's too much. And not being strict at all, just be like, I don't track, I don't just eat and train like a berserker. It's also not the best approach, in my opinion. So what I would do is, if you go to the gym regularly to train, you know, you have a solid training routine. I would still track calories in the beginning. But don't be too scared to gain too much fat in the beginning. I was always scared to gain too much fat. I was scared to lose my six pack. Back in the days when I was younger, I was known for my great six pack, whatever. And I was scared to lose that, so I was always a bit too like shy to eat enough. So what I would say, don't be shy to gain a little bit of body fat. The gaining body fat on your weight gain journey is normal. And just know that you can lose it very quickly. Losing body fat for most people is easier than gaining muscle mass. To gain 1 kilo of muscle, most people, they need probably, I don't know, 1/4 of a year, maybe in the beginning, for some people 1 month, but mostly you need 3, 4, 5 months if you already train for a couple of years. But losing 1 kilo of fat, you can do it in a month. So the ratio is totally off. So I would put a lot of, not too much thought of like being afraid to lose body fat, you know, in the beginning. Just track calories, but don't be afraid to gain fat. You know, you can always like slow it down a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Don't spend too much time in a calorie deficit. Again, during my whole 10 years training journey, now I'm not really training like that hardcore anymore, but back in the days I spent too much time in a calorie deficit. Maybe for five years of training I spent maybe half in a calorie deficit, maybe a bit less, but it's just too much. You know, we should really focus on being in a calorie surplus, especially when you're a young guy, and put the hours in the gym, and then you're good, you know.
Yeah.
But don't think black and white. You can still track and not be too anal about it, sorry for the words, and don't be the guy that is like, oh yeah, just train hard and eat a lot. It's all, in my opinion, it doesn't give the best results.
Wow, man, thanks for sharing all that. Thanks for the personalized kind of information as well on that.
Of course.
Yeah, and I mean, for that regard, you said you also still coach people from time to time when it comes to gain muscle as well.
It's a big passion. Yeah, I do that also. Yeah.
Yeah, big passion. So it's like your main focus is on focusing on weight loss for women.
Yes.
Right? But yeah, man, I'm pretty sure that that's gonna be that's still a passion of yours. So like, if anyone,
if you want to see a transformation of Crispin, put it in the comments.
Yeah, put it in the comments.
1 year transformation.
I'll do the accountability in that case. Yeah.
From 70 to 80.
Yeah. 70 to 100.
Yeah, a bit too much. It won't look like that bad at your height. 6'2" would not look that bad, but a lot of body fat would be there. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, again, just to say it for all the people who are only listening to this episode, where can people find you?
So I do German content on Instagram, so don't be scared, but of course I'm fluent in English. So coach.charles.official, YouTube, Coach Charles. Thank you. Even on TikTok, it's, I think, Coach Charles now, something like this. So if you can send me a DM, just send me a DM with any questions. If you want to talk about coaching or whatever, if you're someone struggling with an eating disorder and you listen to that podcast, you're like, well, this guy is the only guy that understands. Sometimes I get it. People text me, you're the only guy that understands me. You know, and I coach some guys out of eating disorder for free because I was like, I want to give something back. And I think it's also like important, you know, to help people with eating. I'm not the professional, but, you know, whatever question you have, like, it's a big passion of mine. It's my mission, and you know, just shoot me a DM.
I love it, man. I'll also put everything in the show notes. And
yeah,
man, great catching up. Great awesome. That you came here, and great you're back in Berlin for a few days, man.
Thank you, Crispin. Appreciate it.
See you soon, man.
Cheers.